Every day, we confront choices that have been quantified for us, expressed as probabilities. Little choices like, do you take an umbrella? Or do you buy a lottery ticket? And big choices. Imagine facing this kind of choice. Do one thing, and it might mean you will die very soon, or it might mean you'll live for decades in good health. Do another thing, and it might mean that your health will decline and you'll die in a few years. And to each of those possibilities, there is a percent likelihood attached. That's the kind of choice Brian Zygmunt Fisher faced.
My story begins with being discovered, while I was in graduate school, actually, with a blood disorder called myelodysplastic syndrome that causes your body to fail to produce blood cells the way it should, and in my case made me much more susceptible to bleeding. We found it because I got a huge bruise up and down my left arm after I was playing racquetball.
Brian was 28. For months, he got platelet transfusions every 8 days. That helped, but the benefit was limited. Without major treatment, Brian was told, he had about 10 years to live. At the time, his wife was pregnant with their first child. The major treatment he could take was a bone marrow transplant, and his doctors said the probability was good that the transplant would cure him.
And that good probability probably was about 70% chance. So if I did the transplant, I would have a 70% chance of having a long life. But the transplant itself, because of the chemotherapy, because of the infection risks, had roughly a 25 to 30% chance of killing me within 6 months to a year.
At the time, you said you're a graduate student.
Yes.
Your field of study?
I was a graduate student in social and decision sciences, studying how to make complex decisions.
Brian Zygmunt Fisher says he applied his own intellectual discipline to the biggest choice of his life, with all the numbers in hand.
But even with those numbers, it was an incredibly difficult task. It was going to be decided based upon truly understanding my own values and whether I could live with the possible outcome of having the transplant not work.
And his dying within a year. Brian Zygmunt Fisher decided on the basis of factors that you just can't quantify. It was all about his family. He concluded that with no transplant and 10 years of life, he would get to know his then unborn daughter, but to her he would likely be an invalid, a father in and out of hospitals, and those weren't the 10 years that he wanted. So rather than the sure but unsatisfying course, he chose to gamble. He had the bone marrow transplant 15 years ago.
My experience, my outcome, has been very positive. I was on a hospital floor with 20 other patients, going through very similar procedures. Four of them never left the floor. I was one of the lucky ones.
That experience drove home the reality that probabilities, while useful, are limited in their ability to predict what will happen to any one person.
We're never 90% alive. We either live or die. We experience outcomes. On a population level, of course, I can have 100 people in a room and some will have something happen to them and the others will not. And so it's that population level idea of risk that we try to apply to an individual when we talk about probability.
Which, as you say, is essentially ill-fitting at some level since
absolutely.
I'm not a population.
No, you're not. And that's the hard part because if you happen to be the unlucky one who has that rare event happen to you, you still have the bad thing happen to you in its full awfulness.
Regardless of whether that was a 2% chance or an 80% chance that
exactly.
was going to befall me.
Right.
All this week, we're going to explore a question. How well do we understand and act on the probabilities we're presented with? Can numbers help a president make a life-or-death policy decision? Can they help us weigh medical options less drastic than the one Brian faced? Brian Zygmunt Fisher now teaches about risk and probability at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. The influence of his personal experience on his own academic work?
Well, I think the first thing it left me with was an understanding of how challenging it is for a doctor who is, by their very nature, playing with risk over time, right? A doctor doesn't see one patient. They see hundreds of patients, thousands of patients over their career. And we want doctors to make choices that give all of their patients the best possible outcomes, regardless of whether that particular choice turned out well in the last time they tried it, or turned out poorly. We want doctors to take the long view, to give us the best chances of success, knowing that sometimes it's going to work well and sometimes it's not. I also took away from it the reality that I only have one hand in this poker game. I only get one life. Mm-hmm. And I can play the odds. I can try to give myself the best opportunities. But risk is a part of our everyday life. And rare things do happen, and we have to accept that.
That's Brian Zygmunt Fisher of the University of Michigan. Tomorrow, what does it mean that there's a 20% chance of rain?